You know, how many of you have ever been in a really tough situation where it seemed you weren't going to make it? Well, that's a few of you. Probably if everybody was honest, we could have every hand in the house up. Amen. But I want you to know that you're not the only one who's ever faced these kind of difficulties. You know, I want to talk to you about encouraging yourself in the Lord. You know, they sometimes you go, I have been places to minister and preach. And if I was going to get any encouragement, I had to do it myself because the audience wasn't giving me any amens or nothing. They're just sitting there looking at me, you know. So I usually say, well, that's good preaching, Hagin. Go ahead. I believe I will encourage myself. No, you know, as I was growing up with my family, my dad, you know, we faced many impossible situations and often you couldn't see any way out. But I watched mom and dad just keep trusting God. And in these situations, I got a little older, I started asking what we going to do. And dad just would always say, well, what does the Bible say to do? Or he would say, just another opportunity to prove that God's word works. The fact, God never fails us. You know, many people get in rough times and tough times and, you know, they just seem to sort of use trial and error. Anybody ever been there? Try this. If it don't work, that's an error, so we'll try something else. Hello? Come on now. Come on. How many of you with us, you know? And then some people, they get stuck on, well, why did this happen? I can't understand it. Why in the world did this ever happen to me? Come on now. Don't look at me that way. You know what? We find David in one of these situations in 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. We start reading with the first verse there in 1 Samuel 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had attacked it and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wife, Ahinoam, and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, this is a difficult situation for David. Here he is, a fugitive from his native land, because Saul is after him, trying to kill him. So he had went down and joined up with the Philistines. Now he's the one that had killed the Philistines' mighty warrior Goliath, but now he goes down and joins them, and he's living there with them. Some sources say that he probably was about 30 years of age at this time, and he had all of his men with him. You can read about that if you read there in the Samuel. And so they had gone with the Philistines out to war, but now the Philistines got a little bit afraid. They said, now, wait a minute. These guys are Israelites. We're going down fighting against the Israelites, King Saul and the Israelites. They might turn on us. And now so they sent them back home. Well, when they got back home to Ziklag, that's the town they had, they found that it had been raided, burned. All the people had been, their wives and kids had all been taken captive. And so this so upset them, you know, it says here they wept all night. And then they begin to talk about these mighty men that David had, his men that had been loyal to him, they'd begin to talk about stoning him. I don't think this was a very good situation, do you? Now, what was David supposed to do? We read another place say he was greatly distressed. One person said that they, as I read it here, talking about David, it was talking about David's internal distress rather than the outward danger from the men. He was distressed over the fact that he had lost his family, but he also was distressed over the fact that his warriors had lost their families. And he could have just said, hey, it's no use. He could just throw it in the towel. He said he could have just give up. He said, everybody's against me. Saul's against me. Now the Amalekites have come in. The Philistines are turning against me. He could have gotten really depressed and really, really upset. And he could have gone into his questioning like so many of us do sometimes. Well, it doesn't seem like any of the thing that God has told me is ever going to come to pass. I was anointed king, but look, I'm a fugitive. I'm in exile. You know, he could have also gotten a little bitter over these guys. They've been with him. He had fought with them. He had led them to many victories, and now they're turning against him. Sometimes that's the way pastors feel whenever his church turn. They leave and go into another church, but that's another subject, okay? You know, in this day and age, loyalty doesn't seem to mean anything. They just jump from here to there to yonder. That's another subject. I better get off of that, okay? Now, he did something, though. It says in the King James Version, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Here in the New, it says strengthen himself. Well, that's what you do when you encourage yourself. Basic English Bible said, David made himself strong in the Lord. The Message said, David strengthened himself with trust in his God. Now, let's see what we can gather from these scriptures and from this account that's going to help us today. The first thing David began to realize was that God was for him, even though everything else was against him. You know, we need to get to the point that we realize it doesn't matter. God is for me. Nobody was standing with him anymore. His loyal men that had traveled with him, that had been in many battles with him, they weren't. It seemed that everything of value, his family, everything had been taken from him. Now it's in that place that David found that God is still God. If you'll just get a hold of the fact God is still God no matter what. I tell that to people all the time that are in all kinds of situations. I've done it for 59 years. I've told them, God is still God. I don't care what happens. The Word of God is still the Word of God, and it's still true. Now, in this situation, David found God was still with him. Everybody else has turned against him, but God's still there. Now, maybe he reminded himself of what he had written in the Psalms. Psalms 18:32. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Then in Psalms 21:13, be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing praise. We will sing and praise your might. Psalms 28:8. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation. For his anointed one, the Lord gives strength to his people. That's Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people and blesses his people. That's NIV on those two. Now, later, we look over in the New Testament and we look at the Apostle Paul going through some difficult situations. Of course, he didn't face any difficult situations. He's just a man that wrote more about faith than anybody else in the New Testament. And he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was put in prison. Look here in Romans 8:31. He says, "Then what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Come on now. See, you need to encourage yourself sometime with the word. See, our encouragement comes from the word of God. We encourage us with God's word. Then he goes on in Romans 8:37-39. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord." I want you to notice, he said, in all these things. That's all your distress, all your trouble, all your situations, everything that comes against you. You're more than a conqueror. And then he goes on to say, "I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from God." Then you go on over in Hebrews, and the writer of the Hebrews, which I think was Paul, but some people think it's somebody else. But if it wasn't Paul, I think it's one of his disciples, because it has the Paulinian flair to the language. He said in Hebrews 13:5, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." See, God is always there. That's what David found out. Now, secondly, David found out that his trust had to be in God alone. He couldn't trust anybody else. He couldn't trust all of his mighty men. He couldn't trust anything else but God. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 in the Message says, "And suddenly David was in even worse trouble. There was talk among the men, bitter over the loss of their families and of stoning him." Excuse me. David strengthened himself with trust in his God. Here we see the way to encourage yourself is to put your trust in God himself. Now you do that by reading the word, because see, that's what he did. I just read you all those scriptures there. That's exactly what he did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? By going back and remembering what God had said to him. Paul says, "I know that God is with me. It doesn't make any difference. My trust is in him." You know, prior to this incident that we just read about, we read about how God helped David in many situations. Maybe this is why he can encourage himself in the Lord, because he knew that the Lord would deliver him. When the bear and the lion came out, when he was the shepherd boy, he took care of them. God helped him. And then when he faced Goliath, God helped him. When Saul had tried to kill him numerous times, and he was at point blank range, and he still missed him with the spear. You know. and Saul was a warrior. And it's pretty easy when somebody is within 10 feet of you or so, it's pretty easy to throw a spear and hit him. But every time he would throw the spear, you can read it there, and Saul would throw the spear at him and he'd miss. God had helped him escape many, 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 many times from the hand of the enemy. Now he's reliving those victories. See, when you relive your victories, it helps to encourage you to stand in the time of trouble. How many of you have ever had a victory in the Lord? When another situation comes in on top of you, one of the best ways to encourage yourself and that God will help you is to go back and remember how he helped you out of this situation, how he helped you out of that situation, how he helped you out of another situation. See, he remembered. Look at Psalms 13, 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he's been good to me. You know, many times I do it all the time. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just driving down the street, all of a sudden, I just say, thank you, Lord. Why? I'm remembering that he has delivered me, and I'm thanking him that he's going to continue to deliver me. Then Psalms 25, 2. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Then in Psalm 56, 3 and 4, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? See, David, reflecting back on the faithfulness of God. Psalms 37, 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. See, we got to remind ourselves that God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, we can read in the Word of God of all of those in the Old Testament and those in the New Testament. We can read of Abraham and David. We can read of Paul and John. Look in Romans 4, 20 and 21. This is talking about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I want you to notice back in the reading in the Psalms from what David had said. Now reading here from Paul, we continue to see, but was strengthened, 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 strengthened. How? By believing what God said. Here it was strengthened in his faith. It strengthens you to stand firm in the faith when you begin to recite the Word of God and what God said and what God can do and what God is doing for you, in you, and through you. See, the same God who was faithful to perform for David, who was faithful to perform for Abraham, who was faithful to perform for Paul, is the same God. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But the Lord is faithful, who established you and guards you from the evil one. Hebrews 10, 23. In the NLT says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Faithful. He is faithful God. You know, it's time that we begin to realize that he is always faithful. He's faithful to perform the word to those of old, and he's faithful to perform the word for us today. Turn to your neighbor and say, if God did it once, he'll do it again. See, we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord with that. If God did it for Israel, his people, why will he not do it for us, his people? Because he says he never changes. Right? So if he never changes, if he did it for Israel, he'll do it for us today. If he did it in yesteryear, he'll do it today. You know, a lot of people always talk about, oh, remember back when we had camp meeting downtown and so forth and so on. Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't it good? Yeah, it was good. And he'll do the same thing here if you believe him. The problem is that they're living in the past and not believing for nothing for today. Come on. Yeah, just stop and think about it for a minute. After you listen to people talk, you can tell they're living in the past spiritually. Don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. They are. They're. Anytime you talk to them, they talk about something happening, you know, some spiritual happening back here. Well, thank God for all the spiritual happenings that happened back there. But hey, I'm living here today. I need spiritual happening today. I need God coming through for me today. And you begin to look at that and you say, well, hey, the reason that nothing's happening for them is because they're not believing him. They're not realizing he's the same God today as he was back then. He's the same God today as he was in the 90s and in the 80s and in the 70s. And for some of you, you can go back to the 60s. But a large majority of you came in during the charismatic renewal during the 70s and 80s. How many of you came in during that time? Hey, that's a great time, but God, he's still the same God. And then for all of you that have come in during that, since that time, hey, he's still the same God. He'll be the same in the morning as you get up as he was this morning when you got up. He'll be the same tonight when you go to bed as he was last night when you went to bed. The problem is you got to encourage yourself and you got to believe it. And in the face of every obstacle, you got to act like it's so. That's what the people in the Bible did. In the face of every obstacle that said it couldn't happen. Here David is in this situation. The enemy has stolen his family, stolen all of his army's family. And all of a sudden he looks back and says, hey, you're the same God that was there when I killed the lion and the bear. You the same God that was there when I took the giant out. And you the same God that'll help us go and get our family back. And he did. If you'll read the rest of the story, when he started trusting God and quit feeling sorry for himself, the Lord told him where they were at. And he went down and got his family back. And all the men. And there was great rejoicing. But just a little while before that, there was great weeping. So don't, I mean, if you weep, all right, but then turn yourself around. They wept, but then they turned it around. Come on. See, he encouraged himself when there wasn't nothing else to encourage him. Sometimes you get to the point, there's nothing that's encouraging. Every report you get is bad. Everybody that comes to talk to you has a bad report. The word encourage is a verb that means to be or become strong, strengthen, prevail, harden, or courageous. Those are some good terms. Sometimes we need to follow David's example and encourage ourselves. Man, you can't depend on other people to encourage you. You can't depend on the actions of somebody else. You got to depend on you. My dad used to say, son, learn to pray for yourself because nobody cares about you like you do. So learn to encourage yourself in the Lord because so nobody cares about you and your situation like you do. Come on, let's just be honest. You know, there are times when there's nobody else that's going to encourage you. There are times that nobody else cares. You know, when I first left the church as associate, and Ned can tell you this is true, my buddies that I went to Bible school with and pastors and stuff, they had not an encouraging word to say. You know, you're missing it. Boy, you're missing it. Look at that. You're not even preaching. You're just setting up book tables and doing announcements. What are you going to do with your call? You know, I mean, then I go to a convention thinking maybe I get some meetings because I had some time in between when I was traveling with Dad. I had some time, you know. There these guys were that, and I'm by this time I've been a seasoned minister, and now here they are. They're scheduling guys to come and preach for them. That's in Bible school, novices. They wouldn't give me the time of day. All that kind of stuff can be distressing. You just have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Lynette, I tell you, I said, I'm going to do what God said do, don't matter what. Didn't I? One of the guys said, he was a friend of mine. He had a big church. And he wasn't scheduling me to speak at all. A few years later, when he needed me, I didn't need him. When I needed him, he didn't need me. Well, those can be discouraging times. But you have to encourage yourself. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Know that you're doing what God told you to do. If you depend on others, you're going to be greatly disappointed. If you depend on God, you're going to be greatly rewarded. David encouraged himself in the fact that his help came from an unchanging God, not from the constantly changing circumstances, constantly changing people. See, these guys that had been loyal to him, that had done all kinds of things for him, now, all of a sudden, they turn on him. You can't depend on people. They're up and down. God's the same all the time. He's the same. He never changes. Look at Psalms 121. Psalms 121, turn there. Here's David encouraging himself. I will lift my eyes to the hills from which my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will keep, he keeps you. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, as slumber means sleep. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God never changes. He is always the same. Of course, Hebrews 13:8, we quote it all the time. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, you could say that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can say God is always faithful. God is always dependable. God is always available. You know, if you're depending on other people, they're not always available. They got something more important to do than to help you. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Hey, I need some help. Oh, well, I got to go do this. You know, you call on God, He's always available. You ring His line, He always answers. You know, how many of you, how many grandparents in here? All right, keep your hand up just a minute. How many of you can call your grandkids' phone number, they don't answer? Keep your hand up. If that's the truth, keep your hand up. How many of you can turn right around, send them a text, and you get an answer right back? Wave your hand. Oh, look at all the hands waving. Sometimes you do that with your kids too. God is always available. He always answers. Anytime, anywhere, all the time. Say it. God is always there. Anytime. All the time. Every time. Hallelujah. God is always with you. People will forsake you. Run off over here. Run off over yonder. He's always there to deliver. What a mighty God we serve. There's a song we used to sing, "What a Mighty God We Serve." I think that's an old one from back several years ago. But that was a good one. See, now that's the way we talk down here in this part of the world. A good one. That's a good one. That means it's a good one. I have to interpret for some of the people. Okay. Luke 18:27 says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The things. See, this looked like an impossible situation that David was in. At first, they started looking at the circumstances. They started looking at all the situation. But David then said, wait a minute, that's not what we got to do. And he began to look at God. See, too many times we're looking at the situation and not at God. The situation says can't happen. Situation says it's impossible. Circumstance says never happened. God said, hide and watch. Devil said, never happened. God said, get out of the way. Come on now. David got out of this terrible situation with the Lord's help, but not until he started strengthening himself in the Lord by reminding himself of what God had said to him in days gone by. By reminding himself of what God had done for him in days gone by. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. See, when we have nowhere else to turn, God is still there. When you can't count on anyone else, you can still count on God. When the circumstances are all wrong, God can still make it right again. You know, I want that. Rich, where y'all at? Y'all need to be out here ready. I'm ready. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they at. I was looking for them. I couldn't find them. Hallelujah. We need to begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord this morning. We're going to do that by standing up and praising the Lord. You remember that song, What a Mighty God We Serve?
Sure. Yeah, G would be good.
This one. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, sing it. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Get another one ready. Hey, now you that are facing situations, you're just saying, what a mighty God we serve. We're going to sing some more. You encourage yourself in the Lord. That situation has to go. That situation has to change because of our God, because of who we serve. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Amen. How many of you are facing some situations? David faced it, but he come out on top. Why? Because he began to remember his God. Paul faced it, but he said, nothing. Nay, in all these things, we're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Let's sing.
I had this earlier when you were preaching. God will do it again. Come on. Yes, he will do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you have been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. Oh, you may not know how, you may not know when, he'll do it again. Come on, sing it again. Oh, God will do it again. Oh, yes, he will do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you have been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. Yes, he is. Oh, you may not know how, you may not know when, he'll do it again. You may not know how, oh, you may not know how, you may.
Glory to God. Get happy in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Glory. You got anything else?
Amen.
He's greater.
Absolutely. Let's go to G. He is greater. Come on, say it again. He is greater. He is greater. is greater than all. He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. Sing one of the verses. He's greater than trials. He's greater than tests. He's greater than all of the enemy's best. Can no man come pluck me from my Father's hands? 'Cause my Father is greater than all. Oh, he is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. Let's go to the other verse. He's greater than sickness. He's greater than pain. And by his great power, my body can change. 'Cause he's the greater healer.
Just a minute, perhaps there's somebody in this crowd that can't rejoice with us like we are because they've never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Or they may be, you may be here and you know what it is to serve God like that, but you just know you're not where you need to be and you need to rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those invitations right now, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Lift your hand wherever you are and wave it at me so I can see you. Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, anybody. Need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. Anybody, anywhere. Hallelujah. Father, if there happens to be one person in this room today that does not know you or that needs to rededicate their life, I thank you that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them until they can't do anything, till they stop and bow before you and accept you as their Lord and Savior and rededicate their life. I thank you for it. With heads bowed, eyes closed. Listen, as I was praying that, the Lord said for me to any of you that are watching that need Christ as your Savior or you need to rededicate your life, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with this congregation right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We believe that he is the Son of God. And that he died for our sin.
That he died for our sin.
You said in your holy word.
You said in your holy word.
That if I would believe that in my heart.
That I would believe that in my heart.
And confess it with my mouth.
Confess it with my mouth.
I will be saved.
I will be saved.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
I'm confessing with my mouth.
Confess it with my mouth.
That you are the Lord and Savior. And I thank you now that I've become a new person in Christ. Amen and amen. Hey, if you happen to have prayed that prayer with us, there's numbers you can call there on the screen. Or you can go to rhema.org and send us a testimony about it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, did anybody get anything this morning? Remember, when you get in those situations, don't look at the circumstances. Encourage yourself in God and go on into victory. Amen and amen. Tonight at 7 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, be here at 6 o'clock right here, Bible Church. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. I'm going to get on the plane with the Crusade team. We're going to be in Montgomery, Alabama tonight with Bill McNeese. Many of you know Bill. He was here. He was here in Fredna. They were here on staff here for over 10 years. And then we're going to go on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, go over to Atlanta to Brother Joseph Ripley's church. So, hey, anybody in that area, let's see. The church is called in Montgomery. It's called
Harvest Family Church.
Harvest Family Church there in Montgomery. And then over in Atlanta, it's called Body of Christ.
Yes, Body of Christ.
Body of Christ. Hey, if you got people, you there watching, hey, if you're in the area, you got friends there, let them know about it. Praise God.
We'll
hey,
also be on Facebook
we had
Live.
16,622 on Rhema TV. Facebook, we had 4,600 viewers. I don't know how many stayed with us for the whole time. Some of them did. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for being with us. Praise the Lord. Staff, go to the door so we can shake hands. Connection team, go find our first-time guest. We got a very special gift for you, and we thank you for being with us today. But if you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Hey, just come on here and be a part of the Rhema family. We have a great time serving God unlimited around here. Praise the Lord. I'm letting you out a little early today. So, hey, let these people get to the connection team. I'm going to barrel down that aisle right there in just a moment to get to the front myself to shake your hand. Thank you for being with us. Hey, they'll see you here tonight. Praise the Lord. Sing. Let's go. God bless.
I'm a new creation.